Morning. Today's Daven Bava Kamma is Chav Tes. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is long as Zechen Ishmael Libik Avriel Bashmoel. We started yesterday the third parak of the Masechta. Third parak of Bava Kamma deals with various other forms of Nezek. We started yesterday the Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. The first Mishnah of the third parak of the Masechta, describing leaving a jug in the Rishus Rabim. Somebody comes along, trips over that jug, breaks the jug, and perhaps even damages himself. And the discussion that we had over the course of yesterday is the liability that is contained in such an act. Who's liable? And what are some of the general guiding principles regarding the liability? We are now up to the next Mishnah of the second Mishnah of the third Perek, and we are on the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Aleph, and let's begin. Nishmar Kadu Rishus Rabim. So the Mishnah describes a scenario in which your jug breaks in the Rishus Rabim. Now we need a little more context because what happened? You broke it, you tripped, and exactly how exactly did it break? So stay tuned because we're going to be discussing exactly the nature of how this occurred. But the Mishnah discusses Nishmar Kadu Rishus Rabim, so your jug breaks in the Rishus Rabim, V'huchlak Echa B'mayim. And so someone slips, in other words, so now your jug broke in the Rishus Rabim, and now water, you created a little bit of a puddle in the Rishus Rabim, and someone slips on the water, or somebody steps on one of the shards of the jug and got a cut, got a serration as a result of that, so then chayef. So then you, the owner of the jug, are going to be chayef. Stay tuned. So, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, your question is going to be addressed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer be miskavin chayev be eino miskavin pata. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, really, intent is going to be the guiding principle. If you were intentional, so then you're going to be liable. And if you were unintentional, then you're going to be pater. What does Rav Yehuda mean? So at this point in time, it is too early to say. I'd like to say, but it's just too early to say. The Gemara later on is going to be discussing exactly what the parameters of Rav Yehuda are. Okay, let's start with the Tanakhama's position. Tanakhama talks about your jug breaking, creating a slick of water in the Rishus Rabim, or just simply shards on the ground, and somebody slips on it, or somebody cuts themselves. So you're going to be chayv, you're the owner of the jug. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Lo Shanu Ela Shetinfu Kela B'mayim. Now exactly, what happened as it relates to the what damages were occurred in the slip and fall? So Rav's of the opinion that, well, I'm sorry, before we get to Rav's opinion, we certainly know from our Mishnah that there is liability, that the owner of the jug and the owner of that pool of water is going to be liable. And the question really comes down to why. Why are you going to be liable? And when we answer the question why, we're then going to also answer the next question, which is what? Meaning, on what are you going to be liable for? Well, we're going to know the what once we know the why. Why are you liable? So the Gemara says, we'll start with the opinion of Rav, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Lo Shana Lo Shetinfu Kela V'mayim. The Mishnah is talking about where your clothing got dirty on account of the water that was in the Rishus Rabim. Aval hu atzma pater. But as far as any injury or damage that occurred to you and your physical body, so the owner of the jug is going to be pater, karka olam hizikaso. Because when you slipped and fall, what caused the damage to you? Now, the water caused you to slip, but what caused the damage? Well, what caused the damage is the ground. Now, the ground doesn't belong to anybody. Now, the water caused you to fall, but as we've said now a number of times at the Masechta, that's what's called grama. That is causative, but that's not direct. And so therefore, Rav's of the opinion that the only thing the Mishnah is talking about in terms of what is creating the chiyuv is, I'm sorry, why are you chayiv? So Rav's of the opinion, you're chayiv because of the water. And what are you going to be chayiv on? Only on the dirty clothing. Okay, number of things to go over at this point in time. So I'm sorry, let me just read a little bit further in the Gemara. So this statement was said in front of Shmuel and Amr lo michti. So Shmuel says, this is really difficult to understand. Meaning, Rav, think about what you're saying. What you're saying basically is that if I create a water slick in a Rishus HaRabim, well, somebody slips and falls on it, well, you know the damage that occurs to him, his physical body, that's caused by the ground. And the ground, in other words, you're not the owner of the ground. And as far as as far as the only thing that you're going to be liable for, well, the only thing you're going to be liable for is the clothing that gets dirty. Okay. Essentially, before we start with Shmuel, essentially, what we really have to consider is the following. We know there are Dala Nezikin, there are Dala Avos Nezikin, there are four categories of Nezek, and we also know that one of the four categories of Nezek is Bor. If I dig a hole in the Rishus HaRabim and someone falls into the pit, so I'm going to be liable for all damages that occur within the pit. Now let's think about this. And somebody falls into a pit that I dug up in the Rishus HaRabim. How did he hurt himself? Because he made contact with the ground. Now, to Rav, we're asking a really simple question. I understand contact with the ground, that's incidental. Meaning, I didn't create the ground. All I did was create a depth so that the person is going to make impact with the ground. Can't you make the argument, Rav, think about what you're saying. You're essentially saying that whenever I dig up a pit and someone falls in the pit, I really shouldn't be obligated. Because he made contact with the ground, I didn't make the ground, I created the depth, so that would be force and impact, but I didn't make the ground. And so, essentially, our question to Rav should be the following. How are you liable for Bor? If you just simply are negating any contact with the ground as just simply as not having liability, and I created the water so that slip and fall, shouldn't we be saying the same thing regarding a pit? Well, I created the depth, but you know what? It's a slip and fall. And here comes something interesting, which the Gemara over here is not going to be speaking about in much detail. We're going to be discussing this in greater detail later in the Masechta, Daf Nun Amud Beis, and that is that according to Rav, the liability that that comes through digging a pit is not because of the ground, but because of the atmosphere of the pit. Now I'm going to have a hard time explaining this because I don't fully understand it.
Because what atmosphere?
The atmosphere of the pit. And in fact, if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, "Izi kaso." So take a look at the second line of Rashi on Chaf Ches Amud Beis. Rashi writes, "Mamona shozeg rama balma avale." The water that you introduced into the Rishos HaRabim, that's your money. And yes, you are liable for your monetary damage. Meaning, if your money does damage, so then you're going to be liable. That's what we call in halacha shur. That's a liability. However, Rav Latame Dharma Lakaman Bor Shechaiva Lav Torah Lehev Lav Lachavto. And we're going to see this later in the Masechta, and that is, Rav is of the opinion that when you dig a pit and someone falls into the pit, the damage incurred is coming as a result of the suffocating nature of a pit and not because of the impact with the floor. So, comes out now, Rav is really super consistent. Rav does not view impact with the floor as a liability that can be attributed to you. That's just simply the floor, that's the ground. I may have caused them to fall on the ground, and that's not nice, and that's, you know, it's bad, but in terms of liability, the ground caused the damage, and therefore I'm not going to be liable. As far as the pit is concerned, we assume, Rav is of the assumption that the Torah obligates you not for the impact with the ground, but rather for what the Gemara later on will be describing as hevel, as the atmospheric, some sort of atmospheric pressure that exists inside the pit. Now, that means now comes out like this. According to Rav, I create a slick in the Rishus HaRabim. Somebody slips and falls. So on the damage from the impact with him in the ground, as we just got done explaining, Rav says you're not going to be liable. What about the clothing that gets dirty? Okay, for that you're going to be liable. Why? Because the slick on the ground is yours. That is your money, meaning that's mamono. And if your money's causing damage, so you're going to be liable for the damage that was caused by your money. So meaning if the clothing actually gets in the mud, so then you're going to be liable for the damage of the dirty clothing. This is all the opinion of Rav. Ki Amar Sakamin Dishmuel. Now, back to the Gemara, second line. Chav Ches Amud Beis. So this was said over in front of Shmuel. Amar Le Michti. So Shmuel says, really, I have such a hard time understanding all of this. Avna Vesakiyu Maso Mi Bor Lamanu. If I put a stone or a knife or any burden in the Rishus HaRabim, we know you're liable. Why are you liable? So Shmuel says the liability that comes from these hazards that are put in the Rishus HaRabim are all emanating from the category of Bor. It's all a function of pit. So, and as Rashi over here points out, Rav disagrees. Sorry, Shmuel disagrees with Rav. Shmuel says that when I dig a pit and somebody falls in and causes injury to himself, the ground that causes that injury is the reason for liability. Meaning Shmuel disagrees with Rav. Rav says that it's something having to do with the atmospheric pressure of the pit. And Shmuel says, no, it's impact with the ground. Impact with the ground creates a liability. So the Gemara says, and not only is that true by a pit, it's true by any hazard that you leave in the Rishos HaRabim. Somebody damages themselves on a hazard that you leave in the Rishos HaRabim. So just like the Torah imposes liability for a pit, the Torah is also going to impose liability for any other hazard as well. A stone, a knife, or just laying something around in the Rishos HaRabim. V'kulam ani kor b'am shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim. Now, as a basic rule, we need to know that the liability of bor, the pit that causes damage, is only for death of animals. Meaning, if somebody falls into the pit and dies, so I'm not going to be liable. If a kli falls into a pit and breaks, I'm not going to be liable. The liability of the pit is limited only to the death of animals. Why should that be? So the easiest answer I could tell you right now is Gzeres HaKasav, that's the Torah. Meaning when the Torah describes a pit, the Torah identifies two different types of animals that fall into the pit. And the Gemara darshins that the liability for pit is only for death of an animal. But the Gemara says, but Vahani Mili Lein Katala, that's only in terms of death. Avala Inyan Ezekin Adam Chaya V'Kelem Peturim. In terms of damages caused by a pit, so then you're going to be liable if your pit damages another person. You're not going to be liable if your pit damages a kli. Why by damages are we making this distinction between people and kelim? So Rashi here points out, because when your keli falls into a pit and it breaks, so that is the death of the kli, meaning the shvira, the breaking of a kli, is tantamount to its death. So by a kli, in terms of liability in a pit, we're not going to make a distinction between it breaking versus it dying, because by a kli, they're synonymous. By people, there's obviously a difference between a person breaking something versus a person dying. So if somebody falls into your pit and dies, so then you're going to be excused from liability. If somebody falls into your pit and hurts themselves, so then you are going to be liable. Now, with all that stated, so now Shmuel looks back at our Mishnah, and now Shmuel analyzes our Mishnah. Let's analyze our Mishnah according to Shmuel. So you created a water hazard in the Rishos HaRabim, right? You broke a jug in the Rishos HaRabim. You created a water hazard. Now, according to Shmuel, what is that water hazard? It's a boar. Somebody slips and falls, so you're going to be liable. And when you say you're going to be liable over what? You're going to be liable over any bodily injury that occurs to him. Interestingly enough, according to Shmuel, you're not going to be liable for the kelim, for the clothing. Because once we identify the water hazard, the water puddle as a boar, so we know the halach is that you're chayiv on guf and you're putter on kelim, by nezek. Okay, so if I could just simply organize all this information now, comes out that it's a single Mishnah, and Rav and Shmuel have two totally different ways of looking at the Mishnah. Mishnah describes a scenario where I drop a jug in the Rishos HaRabim, jug breaks, I create now a puddle of water in the Rishos HaRabim, and shards as well. So now somebody slips and falls on the water. According to Rav, the water is not a pit, but rather it's my money. We'll put it under the category of shoro. It's my money causing damage. If somebody slips and falls on it and hurts themselves, so the ground caused the damage, I was goreim, my actions was a grama, but I didn't directly cause the damage. And therefore I'll be patur on nizkei haguf. If his clothing gets ripped or dirtied, so I'm going to be liable for that. That's according to Rav. Shmuel's position is that when I create a water puddle in the Rishos HaRabim, the water puddle, according to Shmuel, is a boar. Somebody slips and falls on the water puddle. So I'll be chayv anizke haguf. Bodily damage I'll be obligated because there is liability in a pit on bodily damage. But I will be exempt on the kelim because we know that in a pit there's an exemption on kelim. So Rav and Shmuel take the same Mishnah and really come out to two totally opposite conclusions of one another. Now, v'rav hanimile hechadav karinu. Now, as far as Rav is concerned, when is it true that leaving a haz in the Rishus HaRabim is similar to a bore, to a pit, that's only if you're a mafker. But if you're in mafker, it Rav is of the opinion that it is considered, it does not fall into the category of bore. It falls under the category of your money, and therefore it is principally your money doing damage, but it's not a pit doing damage. Okay. Masiv Rav Oshia. The Gemara now is going to challenge based on the following brayso. Enough El Shama Shor or Chamor. The Gemara here quotes the pasuk regarding the nezek of boar, that of a pit, and the Torah describes where either a shor or a chamor falls into the pit. Why is the Torah giving two examples, two different animals falling into the pit? The Gemara darshan shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim, because like we said a moment ago, that when your liability for digging a pit of Rishus HaRabim is going to be limited only to the death of an animal. If somebody else's kli falls in there and breaks, you're not liable. If somebody falls in there and dies, you're not going to be liable. Mikan amru nafala tocha shor v'kelav v'nishtabru chamor v'kelav v'niskaru. Let's say an ox falls into the pit together with some kelim on the ox, and the kelim break. Or let's say a donkey falls into the pit, and the donkey also has kelim on him, and the kelim rip. Chayv ala behema upato ala kelim. So, again, just working with the rules. In a pit, you have liability only for the death of an animal, not for the death of the kelim. Even though the animal was wearing a saddle, even though the animal had certain whatever kelim they had on them, so you're going to be liable over the death of the animal. You're not going to be liable for any of the kelim that break. Halamazadoma, what is this similar to? Avna v'sekinu maso. This is similar to a stone, a knife, or a burden, shinichem rishos haram, v'zika, where you leave in the rishos haram and they do damage. Now, the Gemara just for a moment stops in the middle of the brisa and just recoils, because we're saying, you know, if you dig a pit, it's like you left a knife in the rishos haram. To which the Gemara is just recoiling because, wait one second. No. It's the opposite. Meaning, what's the Torah's model example, prototype example? The Torah's prototype example is pit. If we're going to compare anything, we're going to compare something to a pit. We're not comparing a pit to something else. The pit is the av. So the Gemara says, Adraba, ma dom lezeh, mi ba'ilei. In other words, what's similar to this? Meaning the pit is the prototype example, and we need to compare things to a pit. So the Gemara says, Ella mai dom lezeh. So the Gemara says, fine. So we're going to correct the Braisa. So the Braisa introduces us to this idea that there is a nezek called bor, it's a pit. You're only going to be liable for the death of animals. You're not going to be liable for kelim. And now the Gemara says, let's extend this halacha. Avna v'sekinu maso, if I left a stone or a knife or a burden, shinichem v'rishos harabim v'ziko, and they do damage, lefichach im itich suchosav ba'evan, chayev. And then the Braisa says, kind of awkwardly, well, you know, if let's say I left a stone in the middle of the street and someone trips and falls and breaks their kli on the stone, you're going to be chayev. That conclusion of the Braisa is weird. I'm being nice, by the way, when I say weird. It's contradictory. Meaning, if the stone falls under the category of a pit, and we know that by pit there is an exemption, there's a patur of kelim. So if I leave a stone out in the Rishos HaRabim and someone trips over the stone and breaks the kli over the stone that I left over there, so then I should be not liable, I should be exempt. It's a kli. That last part of the Brice is weird. So the Gemara points out, right? Reisha Kashla Rav, Sefer Kashla Shmuel. So as far as Rav is concerned, so remember, what did the Brice just do? The Brice just took any hazard that you put in the Rishus HaRabim and compares it to Bor. And that's going to be difficult for Rav. But the Sefer, on the other hand, is difficult for Shmuel. Because Shmuel says that if I leave something on the Rishus HaRabim, it falls under the category of pit. And that means that the end of the Braisa with describing me tripping over a stone that someone left in the Rishus HaRabim, and I break the kli, so according to Shmuel, I should be pater, not chayev. So the Gemara says, well, look, I'll tell you what, before taking this Braisa and asking questions against Rav and asking questions against Shmuel, So why don't we first deal with the fact that the braisa itself is inconsistent? So let's first deal with the inconsistency of the braisa, then we can go back and address questions against Rav and against Shmuel, and the Gemara does exactly that. Reisha patur v'sefer chayav, meaning in the Reisha we're talking about an exemption from breaking of kalim, meaning in the case where your donkey or your ox falls into the pit, and they were laden with kalim, and the kalim break, and the beginning of the braisa says, well, you're patur, because that's the nature of a pit. You are exempt from kalim that break in the pit. And then the Sefer says, but you know, if you trip and fall over a stone that someone left on the Rosh Hashanah and you break a plate, well, you're going to be liable over that plate. Well, the Gemara says, again, which one is it? Exemption or liability? So the Gemara says, Ela Rab Mataras Tami, Shmuel Mataras Tami. So now each Amara is going to look at this Braisa and explain. Rab Mataras Tami, Bamedra Mamorim Kishif Kira. Rav says, look, you want to compare something to a pit, fine, but only if you're a mafkir. I dig a pit in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. I don't have ownership of that pit. And yet the Torah gives me liability for anything that exists in that pit. Rav says, fine, I'll extend that to other hazards that are left in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, but only if I leave a hazard in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin and declare it to be ownerless, just like the pit. Avaloif kiran chayav. However, if I left a hazard in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, a knife, a stone, or any hazard in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, it does not fall under the category of pit. It falls under the category of my money doing damage. I guess we'll call that, the Gemara doesn't use this terminology, but we'll call it sure. Meaning of the Dalid Nizakim, Dalid Avos Nizikin, we'll call it shur. It's basically your money doing damage. Now, if my money's doing damage, meaning if my shur breaks somebody's kli, of course I'm going to be liable. And Rav says that's exactly the point. Lefichach, that's what the Brice is teaching us. He tiachs l'chusav be'evin chayev. If I leave a stone in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, right, it's not just any stone, whatever, it obviously has some value to me. I leave a stone in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, and I do not declare it ownerless. It does not fall under the category of bor. It falls under the category of my mammon doing damage. I'm going to have liability. Somebody slips and falls and breaks a plate over that stone, I'm going to be liable because that stone is not bor, that stone is my money. Shmuel matar satame. Shmuel is going to look at the same braisa, and Shmuel is going to say, allow me to explain. So Shmuel will tell you this follows. Look, I'm of the opinion that you leave a hazard in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, so it falls under the category of bor. And therefore, if it falls under the category of bor, regardless of whether it was declared ownerless, it was not declared ownerless, it's going to fall under the category of bor. So really, in principle, that means that I'm only going to be liable for damage that it caused to animals. However, and we haven't seen this yet, later we're going to learn that there is a shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that you're going to be liable for kalim that get damaged in a bor. It's a shita's yachid, but we're going to learn it later on. So what the Braisa is saying, this is Shmuel's explanation, is that if you subscribe to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, and somebody slips on the stone that I left in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, regardless of whether it was declared ownerless or not declared ownerless, it falls under the category of bor. And if you subscribe to Rav Yehuda, then you're going to be liable for the breaking of that kli. Okay. Amar Rav Elazar. Just one more point now on that last case in the Braisa. The last case in the Braisa is where I slipped, I fell on a stone and a kli broke. And the Braisa says that there's liability. And just again, to quickly summarize. According to Rav, the reason why you're liable is because the stone was not declared ownerless. You're the owner of the stone, so therefore it's your money doing damage. According to Shmuel, whether you did or did not declare the stone ownerless, it falls under the category of bor, and therefore you're going to be liable. Okay. Now, Amar Rav Elazar lo shanu elo shenitaka be'evan v'nishof be'evan. This liability is only going to be where you trip over the stone and the plate breaks over the stone. Aval nitaka b'karka v'nishof be'evan pater. However, let's say you trip over the ground and then the plate breaks on the stone. So you see, it's a little bit complicated now. Because the stone ended up doing the damage, but it's only because you tripped. So in other words, really there are two contributing factors to the breaking of the plate. You're tripping over the ground, and then the stone actually breaking the plate. So now, we've discussed this before briefly. We're going to discuss it now also briefly. And later in the Masechta, we're going to be discussing it in more detail. So what becomes the halacha when there are two contributing factors to Nezek? Is there going to be a liability on the second contributing factor? So right now, what Rav Elazar is arguing is, no, there's not going to be a liability. Kamandalok Rebbe Nasan. So the Gemara says, but if you're saying that, then the author of the Braisa is not Rebbe Nasan. Because again, we're just saying it briefly, but we're going to learn this in more detail later on. According to Rebbe Nasan, if there are two contributing factors to Nezek, to damages, and you can't collect from the first factor, so then you go to the second factor. So that's the opinion of Rebbe Nasan. So comes out now that the way Rav Elazar is learning this Braisa, the Braisa doesn't agree with Rebbe Nasan. Now, Igad Armi, the Gemara is going to have a second version. I'm Rav Elazar, Lotema, Minitak, Eleven, Minishav, Be'evan, Hu Demechaiva, Minitak, Bakark, Minishav, Be'evan, Pater, Ela, Afilu, Nitak, Bakark, Minishav, Be'evan, Chayav. In the second version of Rav Elazar, you trip on the floor, you had a plate in your hand, the plate now lands on somebody's stone that he left in the Rishus Arabim, you can collect damages. Now, even though there were two contributing factors to the damage, A, you tripping on the ground, B, the stone that somebody else left there in the Rishus Arabim. According to Rabbi Nasan, if the first person can't pay, and the first person overhears the ground, and good luck collecting from the ground. So if the first person can't pay, so then you go to the second party. And in this case, the second party is going to be the owner of that stone. And therefore, he's going to be liable. This is the opinion of Rabbi Nasan. If this is the way to learn the Braisa, so then check. Meaning the command to Rabbi Nasan. So then the author of the Braisa is going like Rabbi Nasan. Okay. Huh?
Every instant is cause and effect.
Correct. And right. But one of the I'm right. Let's discuss it. Let's discuss it more later on. And I'll be here after. Okay. So what have we discussed so far? You dropped a jug in the Rishus HaRabim. So, we discussed now, you're creating a water spill, a little puddle in the Rishus HaRabim, someone slips and falls, and hurts themselves and damages their clothing. So, we talked about liability, Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, whether the liability is going on the clothing you're wearing or the liability is going on your body. And really, what the core of this whole discussion is, when you create a hazard in the Rishus HaRabim, is that your money doing damage or is that a bor b'Rishus HaRabim? That's also part of the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Okay. Now we move on to the Mishnah, the next part of the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda says, you know what? A big factor in this whole discussion is intent. Just to look back at the Mishnah on the bottom of the previous Amud, Rav Yehuda says, I'm reading, Rav Yehuda Omer, Miskavin Chayev, Beinu Miskavin Pater. If you were intent, you're going to be liable, and if you're not intent, so then you're going to be exempt. It begs the obvious question. What does that mean? Heichadam in Miskavin, exactly what does that mean? Amar Rava in Miskavin, La'arida Lamata Miktefo. It means as follows, that you want to put the jug down in the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, in other words, for whatever reason, you're walking through the Rishus HaRabim, your jug is on your shoulder, it's heavy, you want to break, you want to rest for a moment. So basically, you intentionally, no malice, you just intentionally take the jug and you put it down the Rishus HaRabim. Amalei Abai, Mechlal Demechai, Rab Meir, Afilu Nifshara. So now, what does that mean? That would mean that non-intent means that you're holding the jug on your shoulder and it breaks while on your shoulder. And it was just a fluke. And so the Gemara now says, now slow down. Because effectively now what you're saying is that we have a machlokas in our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda is saying, well, intent is very important. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah clearly doesn't agree with that. And essentially now, think about what we're saying. What we're saying is that I'm walking with a jug in the Rishus HaRabim, and I'm not even looking to put the jug down. The jug is on my shoulder and it breaks. You want to tell me that I'm liable under that circumstance? The Gemara says that can't be. Mechlal Rav Meir afilu nifshara amar layin. So the first answer the Gemara says, yeah, according to Rav Meir, you'd be liable. So Amar Lei in Mechayev. Hai Rav Meir, afilo az nabi ado. So the Gemara says, even if the ozen, the handle to the jug is in your hand, meaning it just simply broke on you, and you want to tell me that you're going to be chayev? So amai anusu. So the Gemara says categorically, this falls under the category of onus. Onus rechman apatre. Dichsivul anara lo sasa davar. So we know that when something happens that is totally beyond your control, you're going to be exempt. The Gemara here quotes the Psukim in Parshas Kiseitze. A woman is raped. She's a married woman. She's raped. So you don't do anything to her. Meaning, for her, it's not adultery because she was a victim. She was violated. She absolutely had no say in the matter. So you don't do anything. And the Gemara says, and this creates the binyanav for basically all halacha, in which if something happens that was totally beyond my control, and I had no say in the matter, just it happened, so then I'm not going to be liable. If I'm holding a jug in the Rishos Rambam, the jug just breaks on me. I didn't put it down. I didn't trip. I was holding it, and it broke. That's what we call onus, and onus rachmana patre. And onus, you're going to be exempt. And as I mentioned a couple days ago, in terms of nizikin, you're going to be liable. Adam u'ad la'olam, a person is always going to be liable. Bein b'meizah, bein b'shogig. And I pointed out that a debate amongst the Rishonim, what about onus? And I told you there are going to be hints. This is a very strong hint in the Gemara. A very strong hint that when it comes to onus and nezek, you're going to be exempt. You're not going to be liable. The Gemara says that right over here. Okay. And perhaps you'll tell me that onus is going to be only for capital crime, but not for damages. Maybe we'll make such a distinction. The Gemara says, but we're not going to make such a distinction. Let's say my jug breaks in the Rishos HaRabim and I don't clean it up. Let's say my camel falls in the Rishos HaRabim and I don't pick it up. So machlokus between Rameir and the Chachamim. Rameir says you're going to be liable, and the Chachamim saying, well, you should pick it up. In other words, that's definitely the best thing to do. But in terms of Dine Adam, you're not going to be held liable. The court will not hold you liable under those circumstances. So Umodim Chacham L'Rameir Ba'avno V'Sakino Maso Shinichem Bershu Gago, and there's going to be agreement over the following. Rameir and the Chacham will agree over the following scenario. We're on the top of Chaf Tesamad Aleph, where if I left a knife or a stone or a knife or a burden that I left on the top of a rooftop, and it fell off the rooftop over a regular wind, which means that I put the item in a precarious situation. I am what's called in halacha a posheya. That's negligent behavior on my part. So any subsequent damage that causes, I'm going to be chayiv. And there's also going to be agreement over the following. Let's say I left jugs, heavy jugs on the rooftop, and I wanted them to dry. And v'naflu baruch she'ena mitsuya. And then an unusually strong wind comes. Hurricane force wind comes and blows it off Ezekiel, and then damages occur. Shupata, I'm going to be exempt. Why? Because that was not negligent behavior on my part. Under normal circumstances, those jugs should not have been blown off the roof. And it was a ridiculously strong wind, totally unexpected, that came and blew it off. That falls under the category of ones. Therefore, I'm going to be exempt from any liability. You see clearly here in the Braisa that this exemption of ones is true not only by capital crime, it's true by nezek as well. And so, let us review and let's go back to our original question. In the Mishnah, we talked about you dropping a jug and the jug breaking. So the Tanakhama says, basically, you're going to be liable. Always. And Rav Yehuda says, well, it makes a difference whether you were intent or non-intent. And the way we thought to explain Rav Yehuda was, well, intent means I just wanted to put it down. And non-intent means it broke while I was holding it. The Gemara says, well, if that's Rav Yehuda's position, who would argue in that position? And the answer is nobody. Because that falls under the category of ones. And so now we're only left trying to figure out, so then what is Rav Yehuda talking about when he makes this distinction between intent versus non-intent? Ela amar Abaye betarte pligi. So Abaye says what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to divide the Mishnah. Meaning, unbeknownst to us this entire time, the Mishnah actually had not one debate in the Mishnah, but actually two separate debates in the Mishnah. And now, let us parse the Mishnah. So, pligi b'shas nefila, pligi l'acha nefila. Meaning there really are two circumstances to look at. One, I'm holding a jug in the Rishus HaRabim and the jug falls and breaks. There's that liability to consider. Two, after it's broken, right? I'm sure this has happened in your home, especially with the with children around the house. So they spill. Okay, fine. The spill happened. Looking on the floor, see all the milk on the floor. Okay, now what? Okay, now I'm gonna leave because it's over, right? And then you call them back and you say, no, it's not over. You're gonna clean up because that's what you do. You spilled, you're gonna clean up. So there are really two different circumstances to look at: the fall and the spill. And those are two separate debates. So Bishas Nefila, Pliga Lach Nefila. Pliga Bishas Nefila, Benitakel, Poshea. So the Gemara says, in terms of the actual spill, now in the Mishnah, the breaking of the jug. So what happened? What happened was you walked through Rishus HaRabim and you tripped. Now, is that negligent or is that not negligent? Okay, we as human beings know that not every step we take is going to be a smooth and successful step. Sometimes what happens as we're walking, we trip. It's awkward, it's embarrassing, but just sometimes there's a glitch in the system and we trip. So that's exactly the question the Gemara is. That is what the Tanaim are debating over. Is that considered poshe or is that considered ones? That's exactly it. So nefila benitaka poshea, mar sav benitaka poshea, mar sav benitaka la poshea. That is issue number one. So, if you are walking with a jug and you trip and you knock into somebody, you do damage on the trip, so now, a negligence or ones? That is machlokus number one contained in the Mishnah. And at the core of this is the question of, is tripping considered an act of negligence, or is it just we're all hardwired to have sometimes a glitch in the system, and therefore that's called ones? Number one. Number two, lach nefila. So, the Gemara says, now, stage two. Stage two is, trip is over. Nobody got hurt in the trip, or maybe somebody did, doesn't matter. Now we're up to stage number two. Stage number two, I have a whole bunch of shards of pottery and water on the ground. And now what? Now the question becomes, what subsequent liability do I have for the hazards now that I created in the Rishus HaRabim? So, b'mafker nezakav, mar sav b'mafker nezakav chay v'mar sav v'pater. So the Gemara says, and that's going to be issue number two. Issue number two is where there are shards in the street. I'm basically saying, well, no use to me anymore, meaning as a jug, it was great. As water in the jug, that was also great. Now the jug is broken. Now the water is on the floor. Okay, you know what? That's it. I'm done with both. And I declare both the shards and the water to be ownerless. Mar Savar Mafka Nezakav Chayv, Mar Savar Pater. And this is going to be now issue number two. Whether or not you're going to be liable, you're going to be exempt. Mimai. The Gemara says, now how do I know that this is in fact so? How do I know that there are actually two debates taking place in the Mishnah? Midiktani Tarti, Huklach Ach Acher B'mayim, O Shalaka B'charasis. Hainu Ach. Because you see the encryption in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah actually gives you two scenarios. One is the shards. Two is the water hazard that you created. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Mishnah didn't have to go over both cases. They're kind of repetitive. Meaning, yes, it's true. There is shards and there is water in the Rishus HaRabim. But if the Mishnah's only point was the hazards that you create in the Rishus HaRabim, the Mishnah only needed to give one example. Why did the Mishnah give two examples? That's the Mishnah's encryption of now telling us that there are actually two debates taking place. That's what the Mishnah is trying to teach us, that there's one issue in the Mishnah stage one of during the trip, meaning you tripped and as the water now is heading down, somebody is slipping on the water immediately after the trip or upon the water hitting the ground. So my tripping, is that negligence or ones? issue one, stage one, stage two, now the water settles on the ground, now am I liable for that? And I declared it ownerless. Am I liable for that? Now the Gemara says, now this unlocks another key, which is, once we have identified the Mishnah as having two separate debates, now we can go to the Braisa on the bottom of the previous Amud, on Chav Ches Amud Beis, on the bottom. And there we could say, look at that Braisa, describing your jug falling and your camel falling, and now we're going to say, same issue. Meaning that there are two debates occurring. So Bishlam Akadam Mishkachala Bishas Nefila Lach Nefila. So the Gemara says, look, as far as your jug is concerned, I can understand. We can describe the jug as it's falling, and we can also describe the jug after it fell, and shards are in the street. Ela Gemala Bishlam Lach Nefila Mishkachala Bemafkir Nivlaso. The Gemara says, look, your camel fell. We can have a discussion of post fall, because your camel's lying there in the Rishus HaRabim, and let's even say that it died on the fall. And now you're like dead camel on the street. Okay, you know what? See him. Right? What good is the carcass of a camel going to be towards me? So the Gemara says, I can totally understand that discussion. But the Gemara says, but your camel, while it's falling, that's not something you can control. Meaning, we can have a discussion of you tripping and whether or not that's posher or ones. But if your camel trips, what does that have to do with you and your negligence? So the Gemara says, Amar Ravacha, could go into Avra Bamaya, Derech Shar Asa Dinahara. So the Gemara says, no, the Gemara says, that's not necessarily true. We can have a discussion about your camel tripping being a function of your negligence. Gemara gives a couple of examples. Number one, the Gemara says, let's say there's a very deep puddle in the Rishus HaRabim, and you look at the path ahead, and you're like, you know what, we could do it. Right? Sometimes, you know, when you're driving a car and you see a puddle, right, we have this in our parking lot very often, and the puddle's pretty deep, and you're like, yeah, I think we could do it. And you go forward. So the Gemara says, well, if there's another path, he could have gone, and he could have circumnavigated the big puddle. So then you are absolutely a poshea. Vida like a dark achrina. So now, if there's no other way to go, then you're an ones. But the Gemara says, but still, I can easily come up with a scenario where your camel tripping is going to be a function of your negligence. For example, simple illustration. It's like slapstick humor, where basically, you're walking in front of your camel, you trip and fall, camel's walking right behind you, and he trips and falls. And that will be a clear function of, if your trip and fall was negligence, so then your camel's trip and fall is going to be a function of your negligence. Okay, so. But we're just discussing the tripping of the animal, the tripping and the falling of the animal. In other words, when we say negligent, it means it has to be your negligence. No, your animal's your animal. So okay. Now, where do we stand right now? So we have now a dual machlokus in the Mishnah and a dual machlokus in the Braisa, or at least a proposed dual machlokus in the Braisa, but certainly dual machlokus in the Mishnah. Where? In the Mishnah, we're describing a scenario in which you trip and you fall, that's stage one, and stage two, after the fall, when now all that water and shards are in the Rishus HaRabim, and you're looking at it and you're thinking, okay, no use to me, I declare them to be Hefker, and so now, are you going to be liable on stage one or going to be liable on stage two? The Gemara says that's the dual debate taking place in the Mishnah. Stage one, it's easy to explain the machlokas. Stage one, the debate is you tripped and fall. Is that ones or is that poshea? Gemara says exactly. That's the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah. One is of the opinion that nitakel, that tripping is considered negligence, and therefore the therefore you're going to be liable. And the other one says no, it's considered ones, and therefore you're not going to be liable. Okay, so that's the machlokas in stage one. Now let's talk about stage two. Mafkir nagas of my miskaven ika. Now the Gemara says now, let's move on to, you left, right, stage two, meaning, okay, you tripped, you got up, you're looking at the water, and you're looking at the shards, and you're like, okay, ownerless. But the Gemara's question over here is, let's fit it into the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, miskaven versus ain't a miskaven. That's Rav Yehuda's opinion. What does that have to do with your water and the shards of your jug sitting there in the Rishus HaRabim? So the Gemara goes on to explain, I'm Rav Yosef ben Miskaven Lazakos Becharasis. V'chein I'm Rav Ashi ben Miskaven Lazakos Becharasis. So the Gemara says, Kavana over here means whether or not you do not want them to be Hefker. That is what is meant by Rav Yehuda of the Mishnah. You do not want them to be Hefker. So, under those circumstances, therefore, it's still your money, and therefore you're going to be liable. But according to Rav Yehuda, once you declare them to be ownerless, so Rav Yehuda's position is, you're no longer going to be liable. And Rav Meir of the Mishnah is saying, no, of course you're still going to be liable, because even if you declare them ownerless, they are still, you are still going to be responsible for all liability.
So they can line up, like Rav Meir lines up with Shmuel and...
Right, correct, correct. Now, Rabbi Lazar, I'm Rabbi Shas Nefila Machlokas of Allah and Nefila Mai, Divrei HaKol Pater. Rabbi Lazar was quoted saying that during the fall itself, so that's a debate in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. But Achal Nefila Mai, now, when he says that they're debating it during the fall, what about stage two? What about after the fall? Do you mean to tell me Divrei HaKol Pater that everyone's going to say that they're exempt? Vayika Rabbi Meir de Mechayev. The Gemara says, but it can't be. Because we know Rabbi Meir says that once you create a hazard in the Rishos HaRabim, even if you declare it to be ownerless, you're still going to be liable. So Rav Elazar's statement can't mean that everybody agrees in stage two. So the Gemara says, Elamai Divrei HaKol Chayev. So what do you want to tell me? That according to everybody, you're Chayev. But the Gemara says, but that's not true. Vahayika Rabbanan Depatre. But the Chachamim say that you're going to be exempt. Elamai Bishas Nefila, Af Bishas Nefila, V'kamash Malan Kedabaye. So the Gemara says, okay, so all we're going to do is just simply edit the statement of Rav Elazar. When Rav Elazar says that there's a debate of Nefila, it means Af Bin Nefila, meaning there's a debate in both cases. And basically, Rav Elazar is telling us, you know, the realization of Abaye, that there's actually a Duma Chlokas in the Mishnah, Rav Elazar says, I arrived at the same realization as well. Top of Chavtes Amud Beis, Rav Yochanan Amar Lach Nefila Machlokas. So Rav Yochanan now makes a statement that they're debating after the fall, meaning stage two. So the Gemara says again, what did Rav Yochanan mean by that statement? Aval b'shas nefila mai divrei HaKol Pater. You mean to tell me that according to Rav Yochanan, there's no debate in terms of tripping? V'hamid dekamer Rav Yochanan lekamer lo tema masis and Rameir damen intaka poshehu mechlad Rameir mechayev. But we know that Rav Yochanan himself acknowledges that this issue of whether a person trips and fall, is that poshe, is that ones? Rav Yochanan himself acknowledges that that's a machlokus amongst the Tanayim. So Ella mai divrei HaKol, mai divrei HaKol Chayev. So the Gemara says, what do you want to tell me? That according to Rav Yochanan, if you trip and fall, everyone says you're liable. V'hamid dekamer Rav Yochanan kamelo tema masis and Rameir hi damin intaka b'sheahu mechlad depatri Rabbanan. Again, Rav Yochanan is acknowledging that tripping and falling is a debate amongst the Tanayim, whether it's poshe or ones. Ella kamashman demafkin nezakav dehacha hu depatri Rabbanan deonesu. Ava mafkin nezakav de'alma mechayve. So what Rav Yochanan is telling us is the following. Look, Rav Yochanan acknowledges that there's a debate in stage one and there's a debate in stage two. Stage one, you trip and fall. Okay, and somebody gets damaged on the fall. So now, poshe or ones, Rav Yochanan is acknowledging, like Rav Elazar, like Abaye, it's a debate in the Mishnah whether tripping is considered poshe or ones. That is number one. Number two, Rav Yochanan's teaching us is that if you trip and fall, and now create a hazard, meaning we now move on to stage two, that's also going to be a debate. But here's where Rav Yochanan is going to move away from the previous opinions. Rav Yochanan says, the debate over here about leaving the hazards out in the Rishus HaRabim and whether or not you're going to be liable or exempt for any subsequent damage that is caused, that's only in this specific case. Why? Because in this specific case, consider, you didn't intentionally create the hazard in the Rishos HaRabim. You tripped, you fell. Meaning, in defense of our children, in other words, they didn't intentionally spill the milk on the floor. In other words, it was an accident. And so their argument is going to be, I didn't intend on doing that. So now again, in other words, proper child rearing, you'll teach them how to clean it up. But in terms of now liability, at least it does in fact present an argument. Not everyone agrees to it, but at least it does now present an argument of, I know I left a hazard in the Rishus HaRabim, but I didn't intend for it to be there. Everyone, however,
it's there, bro.
Right.
Once it's there, it's after the fact. Now what do you do?
I understand your intuitive position, but Rav Yochanan is saying that the debate that's occurring in our Mishnah is specifically in this case. But says Rav Yochanan, if, however, somebody deliberately left hazards in the Rishus HaRabim, but if you left out hazards in the Rishus HaRabim and you declare them to be ownerless, everybody is going to be in agreement that you're going to be chayev. And this is where Rav Yochanan now is going to deviate from the previous opinions. Rav Yochanan is now arguing that only in our Mishnah scenario, leaving hazards out in the Rishus HaRabim is subject to a debate. But intentionally putting hazards out in the Rishus HaRabim and declaring them ownerless, you are going to be chayev. Itmar, let's just do a little bit more.
Is Rav Yochanan lining up Shmuel in this case?
Yes, right. In other words, Rav Yochanan and Shmuel can now match with each other. How do you declare something ownerless? You just simply say it. It's no longer mine. Certainly doesn't have to be a Beis Din. Witnesses, I'm not sure. Itmar, somewhere in record, I have it in my head that was discussed or debated, but I don't remember. Itmar, the Gemara quotes a machlokas. Mafka nezak of Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, chad amar chai v'chad amar pater. You leave hazards out in the Rishus HaRabim. So one opinion is that you're going to be liable. The other one's going to be exempt. Lema manda mechayv kara meir manda pater kara banan. So the Gemara says now, ostensibly, this is a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Ali b'der Rav Meir kol amal lo pligi. Now look, if you're coming from Rav Meir's position, Rav Meir's standpoint, so there's not going to be any debate whatsoever. Now the one who says that you're exempt is going to be holding the Chachamim. Again, the same point that the Gemara made previously, Gemara is making again. Look, the entire debate of leaving hazards out in the Rishus HaRabim, declaring them ownerless, and you being exempt is limited only to the case of our Mishnah, because there you tripped and you fell. However, if you leave out properties in the Rishus HaRabim and you declare them ownerless, you're always going to be liable. That's negligence. To stein the Rav Elazar damar chayev damar Rav Elazar mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Now the Gemara says, now on this issue, let us assume that Rav Elazar says that leaving out items in the Rishus HaRabim are always going to be liable. And how do I know that Rav Elazar subscribes to that? Because he subscribes to the Rabbi Shmuel statement. Shnei dvarim eina b'rishus shaladam v'asam kasav kilo hein b'rishuso. Two things you don't own, and the Torah basically says, you know what? Even though you don't own them, here they're yours. Meaning that you're going to have the full responsibility and liability as if you own them. When it comes to a pit and a chametz. So, meaning, chametz, on Pesach, do you own the chametz or do you not own the chametz? So, you don't own it. And meanwhile, if you have chametz on Pesach, you know what you are? In violation of the Torah of owning chametz. Well, I don't understand. If it has no value, and so how can you become the owner? So for that, the Torah says that by having it on your possession, it's as if you own the chametz on Pesach, to which you're going to be violating the it's in the Torah of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. And Bor Rishus HaRabim, you dig a pit in the Rishus HaRabim, is it yours? It's not mine. To that, the Torah says, no, congratulations, it's yours. Meaning that you're going to have the full liability and responsibility as if you actually own it. So the Gemara says, Tistayim. So the Gemara says, okay, so fine. So you're right. Meaning, Rav Elazar is of the opinion that leaving anything out in the Rishus HaRabim, even when it's not yours, it's yours. Even if you declare it ownerless, it's yours. Meaning, you're going to have the full liability and the full responsibility of that which you have left out in the Rishus HaRabim under all circumstances.
What is Tistayim? Is that something you're telling?
It means the suggestion that Rav Elazar is the one who says that you're chayev is correct. Meaning when the Gemara first presented us the opinion of Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, the Gemara didn't say who said which. And then the Gemara then says, now let us conclude that Rav Elazar says chayev, based on the fact that Rav Elazar presented the Tana de Rav Yishmael, and the Gemara says yes. Testai means we'll conclude that that suggestion was correct. Okay, really good today. Almost caught up to speed in terms of the daf. So we started the Mishnah on the bottom of Ches Amud Beis, breaking a jug in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. We have now, after gone through today's daf, now know every time you see the Mishnah, you're going to now know that really there are two different scenarios that the Mishnah is describing. One, the trip and the fall. Two, after the fall. Right, the spill in aisle 6. So now, as far as the trip and fall is concerned, the machlokas hatanaim is whether or not tripping is considered ones or prosheya. Two, after the trip and after now you have left that wonderful mess in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, are you going to be liable for that wonderful mess? So what the Mishnah presents is that's the machlokas. And what the Amoraim are arguing now is that even when there's a machlokas, perhaps the machlokas can be limited only to the scenario of our Mishnah, in that you tripped and you fell. But if you intentionally leave out something in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim after declaring it ownerless, so then Divrei Hakol, everyone will say that you're going to be obligated, that you're going to be liable for doing so. Okay, pause over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up.